here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Maddie Johnson, an editor here at Zach's, and joining me today is Ben Raines, one of our associate stock strategists and host of another Zach's podcast, Full Court Finance. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me back. I feel like I've been on a couple times this summer as you and Ryan have been in and out on different vacations.
We appreciate you filling in for either one of us.
Of course, yeah, I'm glad to be here. But yeah, let's get right into it. So today is Friday, August 31st, and we are here to recap, as always, the week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world.
Yeah, so one of the biggest economic stories of the week was the new trade deal between the U.S. and Mexico, aptly called the United States-Mexico Trade Agreement, taking the place of NAFTA and currently excluding our neighbors to the north, Canada. The tentative agreement details new provisions in areas like farm products, car manufacturing, and Mexican labor unions.
Yeah, and although Trump seems pretty optimistic now that Canada will join as well, that decision remains pretty much up in the air at the moment. And as well, the deal would still need to pass through Congress. But in the middle of all this news out of Washington, there are some big companies on Wall Street that were also making some splashes of their own. And one of those is the ever-present Tesla.
And
Mr. Musk, who is either, I don't know, a villain or a supervillain or just a crazy person or, I don't know, a front for some giant conspiracy. No, I'm just kidding. But so as most people probably know at this point, Elon Musk recently announced that Tesla is officially going to abandon its plans to go private. Tesla's board of directors and a team of outside advisors, including Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, helped Elon come to that decision. And just to review, the recent head-spinning weeks of Tesla and Elon's Twitter, the CEO used the platform basically to come out randomly out of the blue to say, I'm planning on taking the company private at $420 a share, and I've secured the funding. Kind of just out of nowhere.
Funding secured, and yes, 420 is a reference to weed.
Yes.
That he admitted to, and I think in the New York Times interview.
Yeah, it was one of the more surreal moments of certainly the summer, at least, in terms of what was happening on Wall Street. It obviously sparked a firestorm of questions and potential of, can this happen? Can he tell people it's going to happen in this way? What are investors going to make of it? But the deal was ultimately shelved because large institutional, I can never say that out loud, owners of Tesla shares are subject to significant restrictions on maintaining ownership of the stake in a non-private company. So basically some big wigs were like, hey, we're not going to lose our investment in this company. This is not happening. And so despite Tesla's wild August, investors seem likely to go back on to focusing on Model 3 production, which has been an issue now for the last year, as well as all of their other targets that they're now clamoring to meet once again, which is really why the idea of Elon taking the company private in the first place happened, because he's just been going back and forth with everybody for forever saying, you're putting all this pressure on us to do this and we're trying to change the world. But really, they're the ones saying that they're going to do it at this time frame. So it's kind of the joke's on him.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, no one put this time limit on him. He said, we're going to do this and we're going to do this by this time and then this time and then this time. So we'll see what happens from here.
I mean, these investors have been amazingly patient. That's all I can say. But this is what they want. They want that Model 3. But onto another big name, a big tech name, a big just force of nature in Wall Street. Amazon, they hit $2,000 a share this week, which is pretty crazy. For the first time on Thursday, which is another milestone for the company. This new record high comes a day after a new bullish call from Morgan Stanley, where analysts at the bank raised their 12-month price target to $2,500 from $1,850 a share. This is also the highest price target on Wall Street and implies a 25.1% upside from Wednesday's close. So Brian Nowak, which is an analyst at Morgan Stanley, said in a note to clients that, quote, we have increasing confidence that Amazon's rapidly growing, increasingly large, high-margin revenue streams, advertising, AWS, subscriptions, will drive higher profitability and continued upward estimate revisions, unquote. So Amazon's new high really puts it within striking distance of joining Apple as the only U.S. company within a market value of $1 trillion. I mean, this is like all that anyone could talk about. Once Amazon hit $2,000 a share, it was like, okay, $1 trillion. When is it happening? And kind of like just a reminder, Amazon stock hit $1,000 a share at the end of last May. I think it was like May 30th, more or less. And that was about 15 months ago. So it kind of did not take them that long to get to $2,000.
Yeah. And for as much talk as there is that maybe the stock price is overvalued because they're trading at a crazy earnings multiple, Amazon is doing a lot. And like Nowak and Morgan Stanley rightly point out, they're running some crazy high margin businesses with their cloud computing. That's the AWS, mm-hmm. their subscription. So they're just cleaning house with these businesses that are just making so much money, as then they can just expand into everything they want, from pharmaceuticals to, there's talk of them buying a movie theater chain, to we might get into gas stations and insurance pricing. Yeah,
yeah.
Whatever we feel like next. So yeah, it's pretty crazy. There's a wild ride for Jeff Bezos and those guys over in Seattle.
So, and when, well, I remember when Amazon hit $1,000, it was like right when Alphabet hit $1,000, and Alphabet is currently trading at like $12.50 a share. So not a big mover in comparison, but Alphabet, like their market cap is around $850 billion. So they're not far from a $1 trillion market cap either. It's just, I mean, we're going to have just $1 trillion everywhere on Wall Street sooner or later. So
yeah. And what's also fun is that, at least even from an outside perspective, that most people know what Amazon does and what Apple does and what Google does, whereas it's not some random company, you have no idea what they're doing. And I just think that that's fun for people to kind of get into what's even going on in the stock market. Because if it's some company you never heard of, like that has no meaning to me whatsoever. But Amazon runs a relatively straightforward business model. We sell a bunch of stuff online and deliver to you really fast.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, right. But transitioning from Amazon to a little bit less of a high profile company, but a name that has been kind of out there for a while and was actually up over the last year, almost up with Amazon in terms of their share price, and that is Lululemon, the Vancouver-based yoga and athleisure, I'm really butchering words today, apparel giant.
Love Lulu.
Their shares were up 151% over the last year
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, they're doing well, and then their market segment within the larger kind of sports apparel market is the only thing really growing. It's what Nike and Adidas and all of these companies are kind of trying to copy, is this athleisure wear that you can wear while working out and then also on your downtime or even...
Did you also know that Lulu has a shoe line?
I did not.
It's called APL.
APL. What does that stand for? I would assume it stands for something. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, just
actually
wondering.
I don't know what it stands for, but they're supposed to be really good running shoes.
Interesting. Well,
another
thing to get into. So yeah, Lululemon just reported their second quarter earnings Thursday after the bell, and their revenues were up 25% year over year to $723.5 million, which crushed our estimate of just about $669 million. And then in terms of adjusted quarterly earnings, they pulled in 71 cents per share, which also destroyed our estimate of 49 cents per share. So they're
just
killing it.
Just like, oh,
they were up huge. They were up huge after the bell yesterday. So we'll see how that goes, since they were already up so huge this year. Maybe there's a little bit of a pullback in the next week or so. But in terms of comps, it almost looked even better. Total comparable sales increased 20%, which is insane. I mean, I know they're not as old as some of these other retailers, but that's huge growth for a retailer. Mm-hmm. And then, so specifically, their comparable store sales were up 10%. And then the real big reason for the huge 20% comps was their direct consumer net revenue jumped 48%. So they're doing a lot of e-commerce sales, which is what everyone's trying to do, and what who we just talked about, has kind of pushed a lot of people to do is say, hey, you know what's a really good margin of a good business model? Just sell everything right to our consumer, less in stores. Like, we just, it's a better business long term than having to have a bunch of stores with the overhead of that.
Sure. And one thing to note about Lulu's comps is last year, so Q2 2017, comps were, I think, somewhere between 2 and 3%. So that's kind of like the bigger, or one of like the biggest stories in retail this quarter, is that last year, not so great. This year, double digits. So it's a lot of like this, these huge comps numbers are coming off weaker comps numbers last quarter. But I mean, it's still unbelievable numbers. Customers are going into the store, shopping like crazy, buying $90 leggings, $90 polo shirts, $120 pants. There's like no denying that.
Yeah, no, that's really good to point out that it's not like they've been doing 20% comps for 5 years in a row or something like that. So, but then looking ahead, they also upped their guidance for fiscal 2018. They're now expecting revenue in the range of $3.185 billion to $3.235 billion, which is coming in above our current estimate of $3.08 billion. So more good news for shareholders there. And then they're also expecting full year comps to be up in the low teens. And then in terms of earnings guidance for the full year, they're expecting earnings to come in the range of $3.45 to between $3.53, which also comes in way above our current estimate of $3.23. So once again, they're killing it. Good for Lululemon. Good for you if you bought their stock price or you've bought their stock a couple years ago or even a year ago or 6 months ago. They're doing really well. But there was also another retailer that reported yesterday.
Yeah, Ulta. Not doing so in comparison over the past year, not as hot of a run. Just over like 14% over the past year of a gain. Definitely troubled waters, if you will. But the report was good. Second quarter earnings of $2.46 per share did beat the Zacks consensus estimate of $2.40, and it grew 34.4% year over year. Revenues of $1.49 billion came in line with our consensus estimate and increased 15.4%. Comparable sales increased 6.5% compared. Now, this is kind of like the opposite of Lulu. So comps this quarter increased 6.5% compared to an increase of 11.7% in the year ago quarter. Now, Ulta's like doing almost like a correction or like an evening out of like insane growth in like the year ago, 2 years ago, where it's kind of like kind of coming back down to earth, where a lot of these other retailers are picking up the steam that it hadn't seen in the past 2 years. So I think investors just kind of have to like come to terms with like Ulta's, it's plateauing a little bit, and that's fine. It's all retailers do. It's not going to be able to maintain 11.7% comps growth until the end of time.
Yeah, and I think it's always worth pointing out that retail in general is not good. There's not going to be necessarily consistency over the long haul, right? Especially as trends
exactly
ebb and flow.
It's so trend driven.
Yeah,
and comps this quarter were driven by 3.1% transaction growth and 3.4% growth in average ticket. So it's nice to see growth there. E-commerce sales popped almost 38% to 132.8 million. So up from the year ago quarter, which was 96.3 million. So looking ahead to the third quarter, Ulta expects comparable store sales to increase 7% to 8%. And this includes e-commerce sales. EPS in the range of $2.11 per share to $2.16 per share, and revenues in the range of $1.55 billion to $1.563 billion. Now, shares of Ulta were down in after-hours trading after the report was released on Thursday, about 6%, roughly. So, but overall, the quarter was good. Performance was good. Looks to be on the right track going forward. So, yeah, retail. Honestly, the story, it's like a comeback story for everyone, more or less. Retail's really hot right now. And Q2's like basically done.
Yeah, right. It seems like it's it seems like it goes on forever and then it's over relatively quickly.
Yeah. Kind of just like, oh, we're done.
Yeah.
Now we have like the waiting period for Q3. But I think that about does it for today's episode. So thank you for tuning in. And as a reminder, shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com if you feel like we missed anything or if you want us to cover a different story in an upcoming episode. Also, remember, you can check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcast. Subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcast. You can also find us on Spotify. Just search Zacks Investment Research. Google just launched a new podcast app as well, so check us out there. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Zacks Friday Finish Line.